Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So here's our topic today. The idea of renewing your wedding vows. Think about that. Just the idea of renewing your wedding vows. And Kelly, how this came up is, I guess maybe it was a month ago, Jinj and I went to a wedding in Cabo. The person getting married was the son of our next door neighbor who lived on the lake with us two houses down. So we watched him grow up, and now he's like 32 or 33. So he's getting married. And so we go to Cabo, and it was pretty cool. And so we listened to the vows. And as I'm sitting there listening to the vows, I'm like, wow, you know, we ought to, Ginger and I should renew our vows. We're going to Wimbledon in London in July. The athletic director here at the University of Texas is giving me the tickets. And I know the tennis coaches, men's and women's, really well. And so they're going to be there. So it's going to be a party. And of course, the tickets are super hard to get for Wimbledon. So I'm very appreciative of that. But it occurred to me as I'm thinking, well, we're going to Europe. Why not just pop over to Paris and go to the Eiffel Tower and renew our vows? And so that was the idea, inspired by the vows of our neighbor. So that launched me into really thinking about this. And you know, it's so different. Like, how long have you been married?
It'll be 31 years in August.
Right. Think about how different your life is today than when you first got married. I mean, radically different. You're a different person. Jared's a different person.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what struck me when we got married. And of course, when Ginger and I got married, I was in my 50s, my late 50s, and I'd never been married. So I was clueless about marriage. And Ginger had been married like 22 years, I think, to her first husband. And so she knew the drill. You know, I was clueless. And so now I see that renewing our vows and updating our marriage, really, and living with intention and clarity is so powerful. What do you think about this whole idea?
Well, no, I love it. You mentioned it briefly that this was going to be our topic, and immediately got me to thinking. And when you just said you're so different, like at different stages, you know, of your life. Well, I was 22 years old when I got married.
Right.
So, you know, who I was then, you know, and who I am now, you know, nearly 31 years later, you know, are two, very different people. And we never renewed our vows before, but that's interesting. I hadn't even thought about, like, you know, and same thing with Jared. Obviously, he's a few years older than me, but we were young. We were in our 20s when we were married.
Right.
You know, and so in life and all of the things we've gone through together and, you know, all of those things have unfolded. And it never even really occurred to me. Because for me, it was, you know, and I know it is for you too, but I'm just like, oh, yeah, well, this is what you, we're married. We're going to be together forever.
Right.
You know what I mean? Till death do us part kind of thing. And so it never even occurred to me to renew vows. You know what? Oftentimes too, I think my perception maybe until you just brought this up of going into this was some of the people that I've known renew their wedding vows when they've gone through a rough patch,
mm-hmm.
when there's some kind of, you know, not just, you know, for the sake of, hey, we're in a different place in life.
Right.
You know, let's, you know, reaffirm those vows that we made to each other. You know, so I hadn't even really, it never even crossed my mind, but I absolutely love it. It's such a
idea. It's really cool. You know, I think to some degree what's pushed this forward a little is like Ginger has had to take care of her parents over the last 10 years. Her mom died last year, or her dad had died, you know, probably 7 or 8 years previous. And so all that got lifted off her, which is great. And now we have 3 grandkids and she wants to, you know, focus on the grandkids. And on my end, it's funny. I really feel like I'm at the pinnacle of my career. I mean, I'm more excited about what I'm doing than I've ever been. But the other side of the coin is I don't feel like I'm chasing anything. You know how it is where you're chasing this. I want to be this. I want to be that. I'm like, you know, I'm just self-actualizing. I got something that's life-altering. I'm honored that the University of Texas gives me the platform to teach it and really to develop this new discipline of advanced leadership of self, literally, and make University of Texas the preeminent authority in that field. I mean, it's totally fun. And so, but I also see that I just want to focus a little more on Ging and sort of the togetherness and not, you know, to some degree, because she's been so busy with her parents and all the myriad of things that go on, it's just a new opportunity for us to reaffirm our commitment to each other. And you know, she's such a wonderful spouse that it's just fun to you know, just renew this amazing relationship we have. And so, but I think here's something that I think you'll find interesting and maybe the audience will too. So I get this idea, and as you know, I'm really hot lately on up in my game with AI. So I go into Claude and I tell Claude that we're going to renew our vows. And I start describing to Claude, you know, the relationship that we want in the future. And I create a Word document basically and put it in very simple terms. And then Claude starts asking me questions. And so what comes out of it is Claude creates like a 4-page document of this life that we want. And that's sort of step one. And step two is it then creates 10 vows that affirm that life. And of course, I was blown away by how eloquent Claude was and how it fleshed out you know, what Ginger and I both wanted. And so it's amazing how you can use AI to really impact your marriage.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love, you know, when we tie this to the, you know, the life GPS, you know, again, getting that clarity, you know, that immense clarity about what you want your marriage to look like, you know, again, those vows, that life GPS just helping you live into the best version of yourself so that, you know, you're living into those vows and
right.
clarity around what that vision is. And so I love that it's such a great tool for helping people get that level of clarity because, you know, we've talked about this a million times. Let's be honest, you know, like the level at which people think, you know, isn't super deep. You know, we've been
trained
to not think deeply. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about, you know, using AI too, is that it helps give some, you know, some deeper insight you know, you can utilize it for exactly what you just shared, you know, with how you utilized it. And that doesn't, you know, for people who are listening too, you could argue that it's doing some of that thinking, you know, for you, that it's still like you're, but I don't look at it that way. I think that it sparks my, you know what I mean? Like my ability to brainstorm, my ability to, you know, for it to say something, and then I'm thinking a little bit more deeply about it and going, huh, you know, I hadn't looked at it that way before. I find that it really is like opens, you know, things up and opens up the depth of my thinking. It just kind of gets the wheels in motion when you sometimes are feeling like, how do I articulate this? I'm not quite sure how to articulate this, or I'm not quite sure. And so that's what I find fascinating about it, and being able to utilize it to get that clarity too for your life GPS when it comes to your relationships. It can be used for everything: your health, your relationship with your significant other, your children, your every relationship in your life. I mean, it's just such a wonderful tool. I'm glad that you shared how you utilize that, because I think that's one of the ways that we often think about it in terms of, or I do anyway, in terms of business. How can I leverage it in my business?
Right.
Not how do I leverage this to enhance and optimize my personal life too?
Right, right. Well, you know, so in my new book, I created a chapter basically that says that the gap between the 2% and 98% is widening. And it's widening because of the combination of AI and the propensity of the 2% to actually lead themselves as opposed to just winging life. Mm-hmm. And I do see that as true because, I mean, I just look at myself a year ago, I wasn't nearly as proficient with AI. And candidly, I see what a big jump AI has made in the last year. Have you noticed that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are things I just didn't even realize that it knew how to do, or that it would be able to know how to do a year ago. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, and you know, as it relates to the advanced leadership of self methodology, I see it's all about clarity. In fact, the book Think and Grow Rich, the top book of the world on success, at the end of the day, comes down to clarity. And when you use AI to create clarity and see things that you can't see, like if you're doing a thinking session, a deep thinking session, and you ask it to help you see what you can't see, suddenly it's taken the methodology to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. I've seen this happen repeatedly, and I see that so much of it too is becoming really good at prompting. I've got a guy that I just hired to be my AI coach, and he showed me so many things just in the couple of sessions we've already had where how you prompt it is going to dictate what you get out of it. Even asking AI to ask you questions, or even the coolest one just recently is saying to AI, here's what I want you to do. Would you write the prompt so it's more effective? Mm-hmm. It's amazing what happens then, because then it'll rewrite your prompt and it'll be 12 times better. It's just pretty amazing. But I was going to mention one other thing. I know what I was going to say. So this gap between the 2% and the 98% is expanding because of people's propensity or not propensity to using AI. You know, and as Darren Hardy told us many years ago, most people won't do anything to up their success. Now, they'll talk about it. They'd like to be more successful, but it's just not a priority, and so they won't do anything. Therefore, they won't lead themselves. If you're asking them to take 12 minutes a day to lead themselves, they're not going to do it, the 98% or not. And they're not going to embrace AI. They're going to dabble with it, but they're not going to really use it. And that's why that gap is expanding. Do you think that's true?
100%. I think that's true. Yeah, absolutely. I think That is a key differentiator. And then the thing you mentioned earlier too, which is just that taking action, like doing the thing that needs to be done to move the ball forward, whatever that is, you know, taking those actions, you know, and then also, which again would lead to utilizing AI as one of the tools in your tool belt. But yeah, no, I 100% agree with you that it's widening and it's only going to get wider as, you know, AI becomes more and more prevalent isn't the word because it's here. But yeah, the people who are using it and understand how to leverage it are the ones that are going to rise to the top for sure.
And, you know, one of the things I sort of struggle with a bit is, and again, keep in mind, my head is in that place of after writing this book, Advanced Leadership of Self, and doing it with AI, I am super into this. And I'm looking at the world very much from the lens of leading yourself. Mm-hmm. And I see that this methodology is not for everybody. I mean, it's pretty simple. You're creating immense clarity in your life, and you're feeding the succinct articulation of your desired life to yourself each day. And the effect of that is then it makes the right actions happen automatically. And you have this powerful force pulling you forward to your desired life. All very simple. But you know as well as I do that there's a lot of people, probably the majority of people, that will go, I'm just not going to do that. I'm not wired that way. I know a ton of people that are that way. But then the other side of the coin is, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Everybody's life is precious. Are you going to tell me that you're going to consciously choose not to proactively lead yourself, that you're just going to wing it and hope for the best? You know, I find that hard to justify with people, but I also see they're not going to go to the effort that our methodology takes, although it doesn't seem that hard to me. I mean, any thoughts on that dichotomy?
No. I mean, the only thing I would add, you know, related to the AI piece is that people will either be reluctant because it's technology and it's like, oh, this is scary. And, you know, there are movies,
right. You
know, the same movies, that kind of thing. So I think that's one part of it. I think the other part of it too, and this is something that, you know, hey, it's fair, you know, because it's a reality, you know, there are those people who will be resistant to it because of its effects on, you know, the environment. On the jobs, you know, like
right.
The data
right.
centers that are causing issues and some of these, like there absolutely are going to be folks that are resistant to it because they don't want to contribute to that. And you know, hey, I get that. And in the same breath, I'm like, it's here though. Like,
right.
You can either, you know, be left behind, you know, because it's not going anywhere. It's going to continue to, like, this ship has sailed. It's like any other kind of revolution, you know, that we've gone through. Or evolution, or like the industrial revolution, or the internet, it is here. Then it's just a matter of how do you then, you know, kind of, you know, balance those two, you know,
right.
ideologies, you know, they want the need to get on board with it, with the maybe, you know, what you, the feelings that you have around it from a, you know, the environmental side or the people who are running the AI, you know, and your feelings about them.
Right.
You know,
right.
There is definitely that side. And I think, you know, that I think is going to be a challenge for some people too, on whether they get on board with this or not.
Right. Well, and I get it, you know, to some degree, AI is this mysterious black hole and that people have some level of fear about it. But I see that it's wherever you are in life and whatever you're doing in life, you can use it to the level that helps you. You don't have to have 30 different AI agents doing 20 different things for you. Now, great, if you're a CEO of a company and that's maybe great for you, but maybe, you know, you're just a, I don't know, you're a mom raising kids. Well,
yeah.
That's another thing. And there's different levels, but I think that people need to embrace it. And again, back to the idea of leading yourself always comes down to your morning routine. And if you're not doing anything to impact your mindset, then you're not leading yourself. And so my attitude is, you don't have to do our 12-minute a day technique, but my goodness, do something with your morning routine that impacts your mindset, whether it's meditation or it's affirmations or it's reading scripture or whatever, you know, works for you. But you can't just go, well, I'm just keep on winging life. That will not play out very well, I don't think.
No, so. No.
Okay. Well, until next time, we will see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute a day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.